Well, hello again. It's time with T, and I am T with a little tea in my cup. Guys, get your cups and get on in here. We are definitely due for this episode. It's been a while, and welcome back, and I'm glad to be back. Of course, life goes on, and there's been a lot of things in my life going on. I want you guys to know that thank you for listening. Thank you for being faithful listeners. And I want to give you guys a treat today with an episode that's going to piggyback off of exposing the narcissist and the magical bag of tricks. It's been done and done again, but today I want to give you a little glimpse into the eyes of the narcissist, the soul, because the eyes are the window of the soul. I want to tell you a little bit more about physical details that you can look for in narcissists. We want to know the key things that can help us avoid this guy, this girl, this teacher, this employer. We want to get into the nitty-gritty of it. So, it's been done and done again, but let's go deeper. Let's dive deeper. And we're going to talk about physical traits of the narcissist. Some of the quirky habits of the narcissist and things that they may have never told you in other videos. So this is going to be a special video, guys. Okay, we're going to definitely get it in, but I just want to say to you guys, again, welcome back and thanks for being a faithful listener. So let's get into it. The narcissist is a very peculiar individual. And I say this because they spend a lot of time in their thoughts, which kind of we all do, but they're on the dark side of it. And what they do is they observe you. They can tend to be extreme loners, but they are in deep thought constantly on a devious note. Not on how can I improve my life, how can I travel, my dreams, my goals, but how can I destroy this person here to make myself feel better? Because they do a lot of jump off, I call it, regulating their emotions and their needs through other people. So, in other words, they're users. They're users of energy. They're users of your personal time. If they can waste your time, if they can waste your energy, if they can waste your resources. Yeah, they love your money, your food. You can buy, you can, you know, spoil them if you have the money or whatever, things that you can give them. They want to always be on the receiving side. So now, of course, this sounds like some other things, but the key to knowing what a narcissist is, which is a sickness, it's a diagnosis that a therapist would actually have to do, a clinician. It's in the DMS-5. They're detailing it better than they did in the DMS-4. But again, I am not a clinician. I have done 20 plus years in mental health, and I have dealt with a narcissist with some extended period of time, let's say 10 years, plus individuals, maybe 1 and 2 years here in relationships or in work relationships, and then some in personal relationships. And then I have family members. So with all that being said, I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. So when I say a narcissist, I can't diagnose it, but I can tell you they've checked off at least 6 of the 9 traits that are out there, 5 or 6, and that makes a narcissist in the DMS-5. Now, let's get into it. I want to speak about their eyes. Let's start with the eyebrows, actually. Narcissists, because they're in such deep thought, you can see their eyebrows speaking to you. A lot of times they're in a very tense, stressful look right in the middle of the eyes. You know, while you're talking, they can either be intensely focused on you because they don't like what you're saying and it's agitating them. and you can see almost a V shape in the eyebrow. Now, sometimes you see a completely blank slate. And that blank slate means, I hear you, but I'm not listening. Or, how dumb of you. A lot of times they think that other people have all the time, they think they know better than you. Avoid people anyway, if they're not a narcissist, that always know better than you. And you make a statement, well, not even that. Oh, not really that. Oh, well, even better. Oh, well, not really what you're saying, but... So these people always dismiss you in a way, either by not listening at all or taking what you said and expounding upon it or recreating the whole concept. And what they do this for is because, how dare you tell me anything? You know, they can directly reject it or they could just chop it up. Either way, they don't want your information. But, you know, again, the V-shape angry eye, because how dare you sit here and say whatever you're saying, especially if it's something that's saying no. Watch how you, the eyebrows when you say no. Or if you're saying, even if you just say, well, I don't know if I want to do that yet. I got to think about it. Well, they've already thought for you, so they don't want you thinking about anything. So a lot of them will continue to probe, be insistent that you do what they need you to do now, or at least say that you're going to do it and agree with them. Or some of them will get very angry, and those V-shaped eyebrows will go back to the blank look, because now they're angry, but they know they have a plan. So they relax their eyebrows while they go into beast mode. So again, watch the eyebrows. Now let's go a little bit down further to the eyes. Many true narcissists, especially on the malignant side, we talked about that before, that's a narcissist that's dangerous. They're all kind of dangerous, but I'm saying this narcissist may physically hurt you. Maybe not directly. Maybe they'll drop something in your food. Maybe they'll loosen up your tires, you know, the bolts on your tires. It's been said, it's been done. Malignant narcissists have loosened lug nuts on the tires of people's car, and they get a joy out of, one, doing that, two, waiting for your demise. That tire is going to come off one day because of them. So they get the God complex. And many of them do have that. While I'm talking about that, they have a God complex. And they'll tell you that they are their own God, that they don't believe in God, that the universe is God, and they are master manipulators of their own world. So in other words, no, I don't answer to God. I don't answer to anyone. They hate authority. Yeah, so that's, we're jumping into that. But anyway, the narcissist will look blank, empty, hollow, as if there's no soul in there. And especially notices when there's times when he should show, she should show emotions, like funerals, like happy occasions. They're good at pretending sometimes to be sad or happy for a while for other people. This is the key word, for other people. They can't be sad for other people or happy for other people genuinely. So they can do it for a period of time. Now for themselves, there is an element of, they can get angry. That's their biggest emotion. They can be sad, but not in the way that we're sad. They're sad when their victims get away. And then it turns immediately to anger. But they're sad when they don't have anybody to manipulate. See, it's a whole difference in us. We're happy and sad for obvious reasons, for more healthy reasons. And when they experience a breakup, like I said, they're losing their energy. They're losing their punching bag. They're losing their resources. They don't miss you, the person. They miss the vehicle that drove them to these places, things, and energy spots and gave them what they needed for them. And I hope this helps someone, because these are the details of the narcissist that a lot of people do not tell you, because I guess they don't think of it. But it's a very fine detail that will help you filter out that narcissist, maybe even before you really get into a deep enough relationship to experience some of the other red flags and backlash. They're heartless in general, egotistical, prideful, and they live for power and pleasure. If you ever see somebody that's gotta be high all the time, they've gotta live on the boat, on the love boat. They gotta be in a relationship, tumultuous or controlled. It don't matter. Somebody just to say, I love you to them. They love that love, but they themselves don't have true love, because it can only be true if it's genuinely the love of that person. If that person doesn't have anything that they can use, they can't love that person. So listen to people when they say, I can't date anybody who makes this amount of money. I can't date anybody who looks like this. I can't date anybody who's a holy roller praising God. I can't date anybody who doesn't love me beyond recognition. So some people want the love of you for them. And they want that on lock. They don't want anybody else to take that. But not because they love you, because they need the use of you. And I hope this helps somebody. Really, I do. Because the narcissist is a very tricky and peculiar individual that pretty much has allowed so much evil in their life that they themselves can't control it anymore. If y'all ever listen to other podcasts I have, I even go as far to say some of them have sold their soul and there's demons running rapid through them just to terrorize other people in the world who are trying to live right. And I say this because the narcissists don't like other narcissists. Why, that's a waste of time. We're going to try to use each other. How are we going to do that? You know, we're going to try to manipulate each other. That's got to be exhausting for even the narcissist who has time every day to do evil. So the narcissist preys upon more empathic people, people who have a desire to save the world and want to help and heal. And they took the same experience that empath has and decided to be the culprit, the evil one. The empath took that experience of childhood traumas, or just, they say birth is a trauma. I mean, when I say trauma, it doesn't necessarily mean you've experience extreme physical abuse, mental abuse, or something like that. We all have some level of trauma, and not just childhood trauma. I mean, going to work in a place you don't like to work can be traumatizing. You know, a bad breakup can be traumatizing. A distant, unemotional parent or sibling even can be traumatizing. So trauma is a big word that may not always be a big deal, but it needs to be addressed. It's a splinter, if you would. And I use that analogy because I just had a splinter in my foot from walking on a deck barefooted. And the thing about that was that the splinter looked more like an actual stick when it finally came out. And it took a lot of work to get that out because I couldn't see it. It went straight up in there. So I thought there were, you know, it was out. But the trauma kept that area sore because it was still in there. And that's how you know. Unhealed trauma will continue to always be a sore spot. And it can be triggered when you walk. Maybe not even just when you're relaxing, but as soon as you step down on it and try to do something and make a step in life, that foot will trigger the pain. Okay, guys, you know me. I try to keep it 15 minutes or less so that we can get that impact of information and clarity about the narcissist so that we can expose them and, you know, they have their little bag of magic tricks. Check that episode out. The two episodes that I've expounded upon are the one of exposing the narcissist and the one of the magical tricks, the bag of tricks of the narcissist. So we've gone into physical details of the narcissist, the eyebrows, the eyes, and we've described them characteristically of their personality: heartless, egotistical, prideful, and hungry for power. By any means necessary. Look at me. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I always think of Trump when I think of this one. But not everybody blows a horn like the trumpet. Let's think of it like that. The overt narcissist is the trumpet blower. And the covert narcissist is going to be a passive-aggressive, sneaky, brown-nosing, with a hidden agenda person. I say brown-nosing because that's a good characteristic to add to the list. Because what they like to do is create a quick, fast, look at me, I'm a wonderful person. They'll even tell you, I'm a wonderful person. I hand out baskets of food at the shelter. I gave away a car last year. I give to the poor. I help out at the church. Now, I know this sounds like good stuff, and it is. I'm not talking about what they're doing. I'm talking about the motive of creating a quick, fast, look at me, I am a humanitarian, I am a gentleman, I am a real woman. Oh, they carry themselves all the best. Always wanting to be a mixture of passive and aggressive. So that's why they call it passive aggressive. So that would be the woman with the bright nails and purse and shoes, but the very conservative look. Because they want you to draw into them, because they're going to draw into you. And there didn't always have to be an extreme exchange of conversation. It will be an energy exchange. And we choose our energies. There's some people we do not desire to be around because their energy is off. There's other people that don't want us around because maybe we're too positive, or for them, it sounds like a thing. For a narcissist, they could say, or she's too holy, she's too positive, or even maybe some people might project. They might say you're negative. In reality, it's them. But some people could feel that you're actually negative, and that's because maybe you could be. Or you could just be saying no to all their suggestions, and well, they can't have that. If you stay around a narcissist long enough, you will receive some of that negative energy. So guys, be careful out there. Be careful who you spend your time with. I mean, even if you think about Les Brown and some of the things he says about, look around at your friends and the people you associate with, and yeah, you're all going to be similar in behavior, in money, in education. And sometimes we need to stretch outside our social comfort zone and get around some people who are really able to teach us something different spiritually, socially, economically, financially, and I mean just all of that, because if you don't tie these things into your life, you won't grow. And what happens to a plant that continues to not grow? And it's usually because of lack of nourishment. It'll die. Guys, I went over my time. It's been 20 minutes, but I love you. Thank you for listening. And I'm so glad that you spent time with T. And until next time, bye-bye.